Chapter 2 In the Crystal Clear Glass. Downstairs, Mrs. McLean stood with an ear to the radio, nuzzling her cat. She looked brighter in her fresh black and white dress, but the girl's entrance seemed to startle her. She flicked off the radio and, frowning, sent them to the bakery. "We need a pie for your father's birthday. And Rennie, by the time you're done, it will be time to go home." "It will," the clock said just after 4. But Mrs. McLean had used a no-nonsense tone. There was nothing Rennie could do. The bakery window was filled with tall wedding cakes topped with miniature brides and grooms with pinpoint eyes and mouth. The girls bent down to pick their favorites, then discovered themselves in the crystal clear glass. Julie shoved her elbow into Rennie. "Porcupine," she laughed, stretching her fingers out from the sides of her head like quills. "Ostrich," Rennie placed her hands around her neck and pushed upwards as if to stretch it. They stood up to compare themselves, a tall, thin one and a slightly round, medium-sized one. Whoever heard of a porcupine being friends with an ostrich? They went inside. "Buono giorno, Julia, Renetta." Papa greeted them in Italian. "Buon giorno." All of Rennie's friends liked Papa. Italian words seemed to bounce from his tongue. The bakery set him laughing. As for Rennie, it often made her smile to hear him speak English. "What I can do for you?" He placed his flowery fist on his white apron so he stood looking like a little baker man in a book of nursery rhymes. "Kind of fat, kind of short, kind of jaunty," with his elbows out. "You come to learn to make bread?" "I beg Renetta to learn about bread for so long, but no, that is man's work," she say. He winked at Julie and she laughed. Rennie grinned and looked him straight in the eyes. "It is men's work." Papa was a baker. The sweet smells of the shop, the dough and pies and cookies, followed him everywhere. No one else should do that work or carry those smells. Certainly not her. She couldn't. Papa was a magic bread maker. Everyone in town said so. "Such crazy talk. E paza." "Yes?" Papa exclaimed, pointing his last question at Julie. "No, Signor Tranny. You're the bread maker. Mommy says so." "Ah, and what is it your good mama would like for tonight, Signorina Julia?" "It's a special night, Signor. It's Daddy's birthday, and Mummy would like a pie if you have one." "Yes, my Ricardo. He make good chocolate cream pies early in the morning." Rick was helping Papa in the bakery for the summer, starting the bread at 5 o'clock in the morning so Papa could sleep until 7. "Your Daddy, he like chocolate cream, yes?" "That's fine, Signor." Papa boxed and tied up the pie, then pointed a playful finger at the girls, ordering them to wait. He went to the back room and returned with a bottle shape wrapped in brown paper and string. He stuck it inside another bag. "A little present for your Daddy, his birthday. Tell him it my best. Grape stomped by my own Renetta and Roberto. And you don't take it out of the bag? No good for people to see young girls with a bottle of wine." "Papa, it is no good," Rennie prickled. Sometimes she hated how he spoke English. "And did he have to mention grape stomping?" "Oh, you so smart. Go now, my customers come." So Rennie walked to the door and held it open for Julie. Julie had turned the wine bottle sideways and was somehow balancing the pie box on top of it. "Did Papa have to give her wine? What if they met some nuns from school with their awful black headpieces and eyes that saw everything? Papa should know better. She and Julie walked past the shops of the main street in Whitney Pier. There wasn't much to look at. A doctor's office, a dress shop, a shoemaker, a pharmacy, a grocery. Down the hill, on the harbor side of the street, the long Hydis steel mill burped clouds of red dust into the sky. You weren't allowed to complain, though. Half the men in town worked there. How lucky Papa was a baker. Most of the other men worked in the coal mines. Julie's father was one. He came home covered in black coal dust every night and had to bathe before supper. Rennie's 16-year-old brother, Serge, worked there too, even though Mama and Papa had forbidden him to quit school, but he had insisted on either mining or soldiering. And there'd been arguments, loud and painful and late into the night. Until finally Mama and Papa gave in to the mines. They wanted him happy, they said, but he was too young to be a soldier. Rennie couldn't understand how he enjoyed that gritty cold dust on him. But at least there was quiet and at night, and smiling at the supper table again. What did your father mean about you and Robbie stomping the grapes? He was only joking. It was not something to share with the non-Italian kids. September winemaking. You washed your feet really, really well and rinsed off the soap with about 100 rinses. Then you got into a big pail and stomped the juice out of the grapes until your legs turned purple 6 or 7 inches up. It was the only time ever that you could really get messy. It was a family festival. But the others would think it was horrible. No, he wasn't. You really do stomp grapes. My mother told me. Then why did you ask? Rennie accused. Oh, ugh. Julie shivered and tried to push her shoulders back from the bottle. How can my father drink this? You stepped on it. Then gave it back. Papa loved his wine. But should he give it to the people like that? No, it's a gift. Now Julie hugged the bottle with one arm, making certain not to tip the pie with the other. Rennie wanted to yell at her. How could a coal miner worry about dirt? But she didn't. Coal miners were important people in Whitney Pier. She jammed her hands onto her hips while she and Julie glared at each other. Then she turned away and headed toward the bakery. Maybe she'd stop and complain to Papa. He would understand, but that wouldn't be the end of it. Now tell me all the things you like about her, he would say, and then he would make her try to list them. There were lots of things she liked about Julie, but just then Robbie came charging around the corner on his bicycle. He nearly hit her, but he switched and swerved, right in front of a pickup truck. It screeched to a halt and Robbie rode off. Stupid girl, he shouted as he went. You'll be sorry for that, Rennie screamed, breaking into a run for the bakery. But as she came close, she slowed down to a walk. Coming toward her were Sergeant McPhee and another RCMP officer that she didn't know. Rennie was sometimes friendly with Sergeant McPhee's daughter, Maxie, even though she went to the Protestant school. They lived at opposite ends of the same street, and in the summer they met each other roller skating on the sidewalk. If Sergeant McPhee were home, he'd come out to referee races for them and hand out chocolate. At the door of the bakery, the officer stopped. Sergeant McPhee hesitated a moment, watching Rennie come toward them. Missing his usual smile, he opened his mouth as if to say something, but then changed his mind. The officers went into the bakery. Rennie had a funny feeling about it. Papa supplied fresh bread and pastries for everyone in Whitney Pier. Townsfolk were in and out of the shop all day long, even police officers. So why did her stomach feel so jittery?